Dobby, live up to your last name. Be a little louder. Bark, bark, bark.
Yay, yay. Come on, come on. Come see the highest freaks, the strangest acrobats here at the Freedom Fiends. It is only one nickel. Count it. One nickel. Not a wooden nickel. A nickel, nickel to get into the Freedom Fiends. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Remember, geeks on the left, pyrotechnics on the right, and enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Woo. Worms.
Well, we're going to play some patriotic music today. Hey, you there, James Babb?
I'm here.
Freedom Fiends. Yo. Yo. Oh, here's a sound check there, James. We do it live. F it, we'll do it live. Go ahead, James.
Testing one. This is Jim Babb in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Talk.
You know, I'd like to strip Bill O'Reilly of his O. He should really just be Bill Riley, because the O implies a kind of Celtic or Gaelic origin, and the Scottish and Irish people are they tend to be lovers of liberty, so I think we should just call him Bill Riley.
I don't know about that. Some Irish are quite nationalistic, but I guess they want to be independent in their nationalism. I'm Irish. I don't know. I'm Irish and English, so I'm constantly at war with myself. This is Michael Dean. I haven't done a full show in like 5.5 months. I've been sick. I'm not 100% better, but I'm getting better. It's a long story, but...
You know, I'm German and Scottish. That makes me skirmish.
Skirmish. What are you, James Babb? I think James Babb is... Good. I think he's all
I'm
German.
I'm a mutt. I'm just a mutt. You know, my ancestors were illegal aliens in North America like 400 years ago. So.
Dobby, turn down your headphones. I think we get an echo there. I think James Babb was a reluctant Nazi brought over to make craft beer during Operation Paperclip. You weren't really a Nazi, but you know, there were a lot of people in Germany that like had to be Nazis or they'd get killed, but you know, you weren't one of the true believers, and you jumped at that chance to go ride down with the Irish at the bottom of the ship by the steam room to come over here and make craft beer for FDR, or was it Lincoln? Yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah, it sounds reasonable. Why not?
Yeah. Yep. So let's play some music here, boys. This episode is called Fun with Flags, after the Sheldon Cooper, but it's the audio version of Fun with Flags. Oh, I am just stirring in my loins here.
It's angst with anthems.
Yes, I am girding my loins against the foreigners. This music will protect me. Yeah, this is a pretty stirring version of this song. And the lyrics.
Worms, worms, worms.
The lyrics are all about killing people over ramparts we watched. And interesting thing about this song, this was written during the War of 1812, which is the war that most Americans don't know about. It's when the
British, they tried to invade Canada.
It's when the
was
British,
it, that's the war against Canada.
It was the war against Canada.
That's the one where Andrew Jackson cut the babies out of pregnant Native Americans to make sure they didn't procreate.
Is that true?
That's true,
man.
Is that what got him on the $20 bill? I think that secured his place on yeah. U.S. currency.
Yeah. So, but it was the war where, like, 40 years after America started, England tried to take it back. And they burned the White House and they burned the Capitol. And then America tried to take Canada. I may be making some slight, who knows. So, the lyrics of this song are interesting because it's a very stirring song, you know, and okay.
It always struck me as kind of psychedelic.
Yeah.
Like the flavors are colors, the colors are sounds.
No, you're on some bad acid if that's psychedelic music, okay? No.
No, I mean the lyrics, not the music.
Well, okay. Here's the thing, okay? We're going to listen to excerpts of about 30 or 40 different patriotic songs of nations today. Now, here's the interesting thing, several interesting things. One is most national anthems are just outright. The ones that have lyrics, the lyrics in their native tongue are just outright, we will murder anyone and send our sons to die, and the blood will form the boundaries of our glorious nation. They're all about death and doom and destruction and invincibility. Now, there are a couple of them.
Why does that surprise you?
Hey, Diana, what's up?
Hey, are we... Michael,
we're recording.
Easy, dude. Come on.
I like it when people join mid-sentence. So
I'm just saying, why does that surprise you that all national
it
anthems
doesn't.
Are about war
because
and death
literally,
and blood
like,
and
what you know the technical geopolitical definition of a nation is the entity that has the what's the monopoly of violence in a geographic region. So yeah, the songs are about defining that violence, but good radio.
Oh, so wow, okay.
That's the healing sound of me. I'm getting better. So,
here's
the thing. Most of these songs are like, we're going to murder, we're going to kill, we'll be triumphant. But there's two or three of them, including America, of all countries, where the lyrics have doubt. They're like, will that star-spangled... It's like, you know, I don't know. I hope. I really hope, man. So I'm going to play Poland's, and I'm going to recite the lyrics of Poland. Poland's one of the only other ones that has that much doubt, like America's. Okay, so here we go. From the Italian land to Poland, under your command, we shall reach our land. March, march, Dabrowski. From the Italian land to Poland. Is it really the lyrics? Under your command, Dabrowski, we shall reach our land.
Oh, my God.
I don't know who that is.
Dabrowski?
Lost something in the translation.
Maybe.
Oh, wait, I got to start it over.
Could you sing it in Polish
for
us,
first
Michael?
Line of it, I know, right? The first line of it is, Poland has not yet been lost.
Not yet. Oh, but it's coming.
We live, the foe has been, what foe has been forced by seized by force, sword in hand, will gain. March, march, Dabrowski, and you know the rest.
Well, when was this anthem adopted?
Because
that tells a lot about what they're talking about, you know, like
Dabrowski and Polish legions.
It was right around when the Big Lebowski came out.
They were
like the Polish knockoff. Right?
I know. They weren't thinking very like future-proof with this one.
I'm looking at the lyrics for the North Korean national anthem. It's quite beautiful.
But they're wonderful.
In fact.
Is it?
And it probably actually sounds North Korean. We're going to get into this pretty soon. I have a huge problem with almost all the national anthems of the nations of Africa, because they sound like they were written by a white British guy with, you know, a brass orchestra. Oh. And they were.
Well, yeah.
But it's like you overthrow.
I mean, is there at least like a cool Afro beat to go with them?
Or no. You overthrow the most powerful empire in the world sometime in the 19th century, 20th century, and then you don't bother to write a new song celebrating it, man. The Wikipedia page does not have the national anthem.
They're like
here
not starving to death, Korea. Maybe.
No, they couldn't afford a new song.
I just googled North Korean national anthem, something came up. But
do you have music?
Let morning shine on the rivers and mountains of this land. 3,000 re abundant with natural wealth. This is my beautiful fatherland with a history of 5 millennia. The glory of a wise people, brought up in a brilliant culture, devoting our bodies and minds to this Korea. Let the way be obeyed.
Now, this is an anthem. This is an anthem, okay? Some of the anthems aren't even very anthemic, but the North Korean one, and the point I'm trying to make is every country thinks they're the best. Yeah. Patriotism and nationalism are poison used by elitists to mind control you and take your stuff and take your rights.
That's
and
true.
Every country thinks they're the greatest. But North Korea's national anthem.
That might be true, Michael, but not in my country.
Well, we have our own flag.
What
we
is
have
your country,
Bobby? We have the BIPCOT flag now.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah.
What's it laying over in that picture? A bicycle?
My computer. I said I covered my computer with the BIPCOT no government.
What, do you have a 1970s North Korean computer? It looks huge.
Oh, it's because the microphone is this like spider arm that comes out from behind the screen, and so there's like that's the mic under there too.
But this is an anthem, man. Which
one is this?
North Korea.
Is this North Korean?
Yeah. North Korea is very anthemic. America's is very anthemic. The Russian one is frighteningly anthemic, man. It's great. It's I mean, not to praise or anything, but just like, listen to this. Great Russia was yielded forever to stand, created in struggle by the will of the people.
All those people starved to death for you.
United and mighty, our Soviet land.
You know what I think is striking is that the music is also unimaginative and boring.
Oh, I think it's stirring. Oh,
I disagree. I think it's quite evocative.
Oh,
I
wait till we get. You want to hear unimaginative? It can be, like, we're going to get into the African ones that were written by white guys in England. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Djibouti. Here's Djibouti's national anthem.
Djibouti.
Arise with strength, for we have raised our flag. It sounds so white. The flag cost us dear with extremes of thirst and pain. Our flag, whose colors are the everlasting green of the earth, Djibouti. Oh, Djibouti.
Djibouti.
It's called, the song's called.
Did Djibouti?
Did
Djibouti?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this music sounds like the soundtrack of
Disney.
Ten Commandments.
It does. It's
or, like, yeah.
It's really Disney.
It really kind of does. Yeah.
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 Eritrea. Oh, Eritrea, one of the poorest. Eritrea. You know, they say move to Somalia if you don't like government. Somalia has
Eritrea.
Eritrea has such a failed state that people in Somalia say, if you don't love government, like move to Eritrea. Here's their national anthem, man.
They could only afford drums and trumpets.
It's like a John Lane soundtrack.
God, that is so lame. Or maybe it was just that, like, John Philip Sousa, like, worked all over the world.
Yeah.
Like, he just went, like, door to door. He's like, hey,
did you hear
what I wrote for those guys next door? Yeah, they're not as cool as you.
The CIA writes the constitutions and installs the leader, you know, removes the democratically elected leader, puts in a constitution, and then sends Philip Sousa to, like, B-roll to be their anthem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that song's called... Eritrea, Eritrea, Eritrea.
I forgot to put my dog in her crate. She's getting in all kind of mischief. All right. I'll be right back.
Let's hear the Greek national anthem.
I think it's time to quote the famous Doug Stanhope on nationalism.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nationalism does nothing but teach you to hate people you never met and take pride in accomplishments you had no part in.
Yes.
I think that
he's right on.
The most concise definition of nationalism that's ever existed.
Yeah, you know, there's a bunch of comedians that are turning out to be pretty damn libertarian. He's the most anarchist libertarian of any of them, but
it's because the state's the best joke around.
It is. Bill Burr is not quite there, but he's pretty entertaining these days.
When I started dating Christian, I had a friend that was really concerned because she was afraid he was socialist, and I was like,
Let's find the French Canadian national anthem.
And the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Which is basically...
but is there a French one, is the question?
Well, I feel like there may be, and I don't... Christian's not here to ask, but...
Canada.
It's Freedom Fiends. I'm Michael Dean. We got James Babb, Diana Kyler. We got two Dianas now and two Jameses or two Jimmies. Are your Jimmies
wrestling?
I'm the
Diana. I'm the Diana with two N's.
You're Diana one. Diana Davison's Diana two because she came late to the party. So we're playing fun with flags here. Let's hear the. I don't think Canada. Oh Canada. Let's hear that.
Oh Canada. They could only afford a piano.
The tariffs.
You're going to play it.
The tariffs prevented the orchestra. Yeah. Oh, man. Isn't it the same lyric as some other song? A church song?
No, that's
God Save the Queen and...
And what the heck is that song we had to sing in school?
Yeah, it's one of the other unofficial national anthems of America.
Yeah.
What is it? Here's God Save the Queen, which is... The UK's national anthem. Oh, it's got a drum roll. Come on, man. Oh, come on. Get to the... Don't bore us. Get to the chorus.
Boris, get to the chorus.
Yeah, it's a songwriting rule. Sweet land of liberty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the same song.
Oh my God, I am so ashamed that I ever stood up and put my hand over my freaking heart and said the Pledge of Allegiance and then sang this stupid song afterwards. Oh my God, myself as a kid was dumb as heck.
Okay, now here's the Germany's national anthem, I think, is also in a church. I think it was borrowed from a church song.
Isn't it Deutschland über alles?
No. Oh, wait. Isn't this Deutschland über alles? Yeah, the lyrics have changed. Isn't it?
Oh, the lyrics are changed.
That's pretty anthemic. Now let's go back to these horrible African ones. Wait, Greece. Okay, Greece has one.
It sounds kind of Greek. I feel like I could dance to that. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't sound Greek
at
all.
Go, like,
there's no
bazooki
music. It's terrible.
It's called Hymn to Liberty.
It's circus music. Listen to it.
And you know, it's like a little calliope action in the background. Know.
I guess I liked it because
you could totally imagine.
James, you were so funny.
I like that it doesn't sound English.
Yeah.
Crete. Let's hear Crete. Oh, Crete.
So these all sound English to me. And I think this is ultimately when historians look back and they look at the damage that the British Empire did to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is going to be a major topic of these ruined national anthems around the globe.
Right. Yeah. So unimaginative. I mean, really, you know, can we
anyone other than, like, if a country never encountered the English, would they even have a national anthem? Is that like a thing other people do?
Well, do you remember that thing from some Mel Brooks movie where they talk to two cavemen talking about, yeah, back in the day, every cave had their own national anthem. Ours was, let them all go to hell except Cave 71.
Oh, that's awesome.
You never heard that? Okay. Algeria.
No. But I'm also reminded of Family Guy when Peter has his own country.
Pretoria.
Yeah. And he has his own national anthem and everything, too.
Yeah. Canary Islands can't afford a national anthem. Egypt. They've probably got one. They've been around a while. All right. Theirs is called My Country, My Country, My Country. Here we go.
They couldn't afford more than two words.
Okay, they were British for
that
a minute.
English too.
They were British for 10 minutes, weren't they, at some point?
Wasn't everyone British at some point?
Yeah.
Evidently. International anthems are.
You have my love and my heart, Egypt.
Man, even the national anthem in Animal Farm was English.
Well, Animal Farm was very English.
Beast of England, Beast of Ireland. Yeah, no, it's an English song.
Isn't that My Darling Clementine?
That's what it says in the book. In the book, it says it's a combination of Clementine and La Cucaracha.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Iran doesn't have one. I think it's because it's illegal to sing there. We have a national anthem, but you can't
it's
sing.
It's illegal to sing a song about Muhammad, right?
No, it's illegal to sing in Iran, isn't it? Or is that Saudi Arabia?
I don't know. I doubt that.
I got no idea. But you could definitely chant.
It's definitely Saudi Arabia. Definitely Saudi Arabia.
Okay, here's Morocco. Ah, finally.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
One that doesn't sound terribly British. It sounds Russian. Well, all right. We'll be back with more fun.
What country is that?
I love Morocco. It's Morocco.
I want to live in this country, whichever the national anthem is for this one. Yeah.
I want to go to that country.
Somalia sounds like an Italian folk song because they were part of Italy at one point.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah. So, Dobby,
yeah,
you lived in Saudi Arabia. Is there nationalism there, or is it all about, like, worshiping the royal party or God?
Well, I was, like, 4 years old at the time.
Okay.
And we lived in a compound
of Americans
out in the desert so that we wouldn't infect their culture.
Okay. And, so you wouldn't affect their infect or affect.
Either one. I said infect. That's the way I, you know, we were quarantined. But, I mean, we did get around town and get to grocery shop and things like that. Definitely, like, religion is everywhere because, like, the moment the call to prayer goes off, like, people roll out their carpets while they're in the mall. Like, it's just, you stop whatever you're doing, even if you're performing surgery on my brother, apparently.
Really? No.
Really?
What no, seriously. In the world?
He was hit by a car, and they were doing surgery on his leg, and then the call to prayer went off, and they stopped.
Was he conscious?
No freaking way.
Was he conscious?
I don't remember. Yeah, he was crying. Yeah, he would have been.
He was crying. Say, well, get back to my surgery.
When during surgery is the last time you want to risk divine retribution.
That's okay? true.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, it doesn't take long,
point.
Right?
That's a good
How long
point.
Does the call to prayer take?
No, it takes... it.
3 or 4 hours.
It takes 4 or 5 minutes or something.
That's a little longer surgery.
Still, you know, chronic disease priorities.
Okay, the point we're trying to make here is that every country
a lot of nationalism, but here's,
thinks they're
but
great.
What I did see, so I went, that was when I was four, when I was like 2 years ago, I went to Saudi Arabia to go on Hajj. And what I noticed there now that wasn't there when I was a kid was the giant banners of the king with the like divine light behind them and stuff like that. So even if it isn't like part of the culture per se, the king definitely wants it to be. Like he definitely wants people to see him.
That's there now divine, or it's not there you know, now? Like,
no, it's there now. Yeah.
Why bother being the king if you don't get stuff like that?
It's good to be the king.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea of being the king.
Christian has had to go. I mean, he's had to go to Saudi Arabia a couple of times since we've been dating. He's got
to sell medical equipment to the people that stop doing surgery to pray.
Right, right, exactly. Right. Yeah, so he could definitely attest to what Dobby is saying. I mean, there's a lot of religiosity, I think, that may in some way be directed to the royal family.
Yeah.
For sure. So, you know, I mean, that's not unusual, I don't think.
Well, I mean, why would they be the king if they weren't appointed by God?
Right, exactly.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let's hear Saudi
Arabia.
But
I know of no national anthem.
Here it is.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that sounds very English.
It sounds British.
You know, I'll bet you could play all of these national anthems at the same time, and you wouldn't even notice like any cacophony.
They're all in C.
The same rhythm, same key structure.
Except for the Soviet ones. The Soviet ones are dark and brooding.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of minor chords and stuff in them.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia.
I just think it's atrocious that these anthems coming from so many diverse cultures, from Africa to Greece to Egypt, Morocco. Like they all have like these very interesting native musical forms, and of course they're completely out of the question when it comes to the national anthem. You know, like there's not a trace of even their own like key structure.
This is Comoros. I've never heard of this nation. Comoros. Although I never heard of them, but their national anthem sounds British.
Mm-hmm.
Kenya. Kenya sounds pretty African. Let's hear their national anthem.
British. Yeah.
Can't tell yet.
Like, were you expecting something from the Lion King? I mean,
this kind of sounds a little more stately. Bless this, our land and nation. Justice be our shield and defender. May we dwell in unity. Peace and liberty. Boy, this is a not very warlike one. Plenty be found within our borders. This one sounds a little different. It sounds like the Lion King. All right, here we go. Kenya.
It kind of sounded like an old Nintendo game for a while, like Metroid or something.
Madagascar. Here we go. Our beloved land of Ancestoria is the name of theirs.
Ancestoria?
Yes. Come on, man. This English. Is like God Save the Queen or something.
Yeah.
Borneo. They can't afford a national anthem. All right, let's see. Zimbabwe. That sounds African. Okay.
Pretty sure, yeah.
They can't afford one. All right.
Does the Nation of Islam have an anthem?
That's interesting.
It's probably a funk song from the 70s.
I don't know.
Are you talking about the Islamic State or the Nation of Islam?
No, the Nation of Islam, the African American civil rights movement led by Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's Botswana. This sounds Swedish or Swiss.
Ricola.
That's racist. Liberia. Okay, that's the one that was like the Nation of Islam, like back to Africa, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. No.
And their capital is named Monrovia after James Monroe, and their constitution is the U.S. Constitution. All right, here we go.
Oh, the poor sass.
I'm glad someone's using it.
And their national anthem apparently is recycled from a British private school, boys' school fight song.
Well, recycling is very important.
Sierra Leone. Conflict songs. Let's see. You know, we should do a Kickstarter to get, like, an African composer to write African-sounding national anthems for the 100 countries of Africa. Or they could just write one for all of them with different lyrics, maybe. Like, open source it. What do you think?
Or just write the same song but translate it into all the languages of Africa.
I think there's three languages and they're all European, aren't they?
No, there's gotta be like 50 languages in Africa.
I think there's like three per country.
But most of
I can only speak for Kenya, but I know that their two official languages are English and Swahili.
Yeah, I mean they all have the native language, but they all like do business in like Dutch or French or English or Belgian.
That's why the national anthem should be in their national language.
Mm-hmm. Like Belgian, Flemish, Flanders.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that when you get into a country like Kenya and Africa, I mean it has a lot of different tribes and all the tribes actually speak their own tribal languages. But they probably like when I went to Kenya, where I went, they spoke Luo, which is a tribal language. They spoke Swahili and English, which is interesting. But when it was just them, they only spoke Luo.
This is Togo.
It all sounds the same. People are going to listen to these and they're going to think that you're just playing the same thing over and over.
Did you say Cuba?
No, Tuva. T-U-V-A.
I want to hear Cuba.
Next to Mongolia.
Oh.
Cuba sounds Spanish.
It's Superman.
It's better than most of them. Yeah.
Which one was that?
Cuba.
Cuba.
That was Cuba?
Yep.
Wow. Oh, I meant Ubermensch, apparently.
Tuva is where they have those interesting throat singers that sing in like multiple polyphonic
tones. Really?
Very cool.
Okay.
It'd be neat if they had like a polyphonic vocal anthem.
Oh, you know who has a cool one is Nepal.
How about Lieberland? Do they have an anthem?
No. Here's Nepal. At least it doesn't sound British.
Sounds like it was composed on a Casio keyboard. That's neat.
Yeah.
Which one is this?
Nepal.
Yeah. All right, and here's...
It's the most creative. At least it has like a flavor, local flavor. Yeah. You know?
And Somalia's sounds like an Italian love song repurposed, because they were part of Italy at one point. This is the weirdest national anthem. If you want a weird, if you don't love national anthems, move to Somalia. It's weird.
At least it's different.
It's got a local flavor.
Yeah,
you know, like,
it's one of the few that do.
It's because it's in the local language.
America's doesn't even really have a local flavor. It has a British flavor.
Yeah.
Although, It depends. I really got to say, I think John Philip Sousa's marches really, really, really sound American to me. And they all sound like, we win. You go to hell. You, we win. You know, he invented the Sousa phone. Like, that's the fiend phone of his era. Like, he couldn't do what he had to do with the existing technology, so he had to invent another phonic. And the fiends are the same way. We had to invent the fiend phone.
We are the Sousa phone.
The fiend phone is the Sousa phone of the millennium. Yes. All right, here's the marine band playing Sousa. We win. You suck. Patriotism. All right, talk about it, guys.
It's stupid.
Why? Why? What'd you say, James?
It's like blindly it's blindly following something that you don't really understand.
But
and
America,
you believe the rhetoric, you believe the propaganda. And I mean, that's...
It's American fundamentalism.
Exactly.
Explain more. Like, people who might like the fiends but might like patriotism, speak to them, James Babb. With
You know, I guess first you have to kind of define the term. Like, most people confuse patriotism and nationalism, and they're very similar.
What's the difference?
Right? Like, when you're watching the NFL and they pulled out a 300-foot flag on the field and they have a military flyover and a salute to the troops, okay? A lot of people, like, their heart swells with patriotism, but that's straight-up nationalism. So... Okay. What is patriotism that makes it different from nationalism?
Yeah.
I have no idea. So if there is something, maybe somebody could tell me what that is. Because it's kind of just, I think, a euphemism for nationalism.
Yeah. I mean, it could be conflation. I don't know. I mean, I also think about jingoism. I think of that
as war,
being very similar.
Yeah. War. War were declared.
Right. We hate you and we're awesome.
Tell me more. You got 30 seconds, guys.
It's the collectivist mentality. It sounds like circus,
Javi?
Yeah, this sounds like circus music.
Well, it's the same instrumentation.
It really kind of does. Yeah, this does.
The elephants.
Sousaphone does play well into
it. And the jugglers. Woo!
These guys are going to get
it. It's what that, like, robotic orchestra plays in the center of the carousel. You know, it's got the robotic drum and everything.
Meow, carousel? Meow, meow. Like in the movie where they kill you when you turn 21? Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Love the fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
And I decided the only thing that sucks about being 50 is...
Is what?
Not being able to keep the weight off. Pisses me off.
I just gave up this year. It's the Freedom Fiends. We'll be around for another hour, but we're going to play the national anthem of Tuva. And then nail home in the last 5 minutes here. Redemption in the third act of the first hour. Why patriotism and nationalism are dumb and are meant to enslave you. And we'll play the national anthem of Tuva.
Tuva.
Wow.
I'm digging this one.
Yeah, at least this has local flavor. All right, so tell me, guys. Tell me.
Yeah, I could jam out to that one.
Davi, tell me more about patriotism and why it harms more than it helps.
Because it's just irrational. It's, I call it American fundamentalism because I think of it as a fundamentalist ideology, even a fundamentalist religion. And what fundamentalism is, fundamentally, is fun and dementia. And there are these people who think
I like
that
it.
Dementia is fun, and it's really just not.
No.
And
I think we have the title of the show.
You know, I was caught up in patriotism and even jingoism after 9/11, and I'm very ashamed of that. You know, I've been anti-war my whole life, pretty much, except for that moment in history, except for then. And it's like, and I look back on that now, and it's just like, I bought it. Like, I bought the propaganda, and I bought the rhetoric. And I, you know, and looking back, it's just like, okay, I understand that now. It's like, I understand that. I mean, it's so, oh, it's just so, it just gets into you. They are very successful and they're very good. And when I say they, I mean the state.
CIA.
You know, yeah. Well, yeah.
CIA mind control that controls the mainstream media.
I mean, it's just there. I mean, like James said earlier, you know, national anthems are meant to be provocative and evocative and supposed to get your emotions stirred up. It's kind of like the war prayer. You know, that you know, we talked about a few, many episodes back. It's, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in that. It's the same as any kind of religious fervor. You know, it just, it is irrational. It's completely irrational. You know, it's like you're just caught up in the emotionality of it. You're not really thinking about it. You're not really analyzing it. You're not really digging in and looking at, you know, is this right or wrong, you know? And, you know, you're just whatever. It's what feels good.
Yep.
And we all know that what feels good is not always the right thing.
But it also feels good in a real, like, poison, toxic, like you get hungover from it kind of way, you know?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I'm a believer. But one of the things about being a believer that I think a lot of people get wrong is that it's not about the emotions of it. It's really not. You know, it's about, you know, I try to think of myself as a really rational, logical believer. Like, I mean, you know, a lot of people, because when they don't believe in God, you know, and they, you know, because they're following their own logic and rationality of it, I analyze it. I struggle with it, you know, and it's like when I don't feel good about it necessarily, that doesn't make me not believe anymore. It shouldn't be about the feelings. It should be about, you know, I don't know, like in terms of doing what's, you know, doing what is wise, maybe not so much right or wrong. You don't want to place a value judgment on it, but just think about the wisdom of this, you know, just like going back to the war prayer. It's like, when you are right, someone else is wrong. When you are winning, someone else is losing. You know, when you're at war with someone, you're killing someone, someone else is bleeding and dying and someone else is suffering. You know, you have to think about it like that. So, you know, that I think that is the poison of patriotism, is that we don't think about the consequences of it. You know, we just are caught up in the feeling of it. It's, you know, and I can attest to that as being, you know, very, you know, warlike and, you know, after 9/11, you know, I wanted to get the bad guys really bad. And I ignored the collateral damage and all that other stuff, you know. I'm very ashamed of that now. But I'll admit it because I know there's other people out there like me.
Safety in numbers. Safety in numbers. You'll admit it now because there's other people out there like you. I'm just teasing.
I think there's also a desire to just be part of something that's bigger than yourself. People want to feel I'm part of something big and great.
Yeah.
And, you know, that means I'm big and great. But to people that really want that, I'm going to say, how about sports? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forget about this nationalism stuff. Just get yourself a sports team.
Exactly. Okay? You know what? I totally propose that. Like, I think that if you want to be tribalistic, do something like more like be innocent about it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, get into sports. I mean, I kind of like sports. Whatever.
You know, like, hey, it's the Dallas Cowboys. Woohoo! You know, I'm part of the.
Yeah.
You know,
I think people who want to be bigger than they are should take up competitive eating.
I'm currently involved in that, Dobby.
Let's keep getting
bigger.
But I'm zen about it because I know I'm my only true opponent in the competitive eating. All right, we'll be back for hour two. Good show. Good show. Good show. Good show. Good show. Good show. Good show.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives. Who's going to do the intro? On the Freedom Fiends? Dobby. Do it, Dobby.
A new one.
You want me
Dobby,
to do it?
One. Yeah. Do it, Dobby, do it.
I don't have anything.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from the Libertarian Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza. I'm the planet Libbear Artificial Satellite 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is licensed BIPCOT, no government license, which allows reuse by anyone except governments or their agents. Go to BIPCOT.org for more, to learn how to get your own BIPCOT flag. If you want to fly flags, we got a flag for you. Dobby said during the first hour that fundamentalism, like patriotism and nationalism and warism, he said that fundamentalism is what did you say it was a mix of? Fun and dementia?
It's the belief that fun is... That dementia is fun. That's why they call it fun dementalism.
Right. So I read this article.
Sounds as good as any other definition to me.
I read this article today that was written by some centrist, and it was calling for more centrism, which to me just basically means centrists are people who think that everything should be a little bit illegal. But other than that being the conclusion of the article had a really good point, was that more and more and more and more people running for office and people with political parties over the past 10 years or so have gotten a lot more contentious, to where it's not just like, sir, I strongly disagree with your ideas, but I fight for your right to say them. It's more like people want to kill their opponents, you know? Donald Trump wants to deport everyone. Not who just wasn't born here, but like everyone he doesn't like, you know?
This is just so obvious. I mean, it's just so.
And the left are the same way. Left are like, oh, every time there's a school shooting, they're like, oh, everyone should give up their guns, or the government should go around at gunpoint and shoot the people who won't give up their guns. Like, everyone's nuts and infected and hating and like.
Sick.
Like, you know what it is? It's really what happens after 200 years of. You have to agree that one side or the other gets the roles and gets the guns, and nobody considers the option of, hey, what if we could opt out of this, you know? Mm-hmm. Discuss. Spelling counts.
Opt out. You can do it.
Worms.
But then what if they don't want to opt out? You know, what if they're so stuck in their ideology that they don't want to opt out?
Maybe we could just separate, okay? Where those of us that want to be left alone
live
one existence. And when we take the Donald Trumps and the Bernie Sanders of the world and we confine them into a limited area and just let them just slug it out, and then we'll find out who's left over later. You know,
that would be the ideal situation, yes.
Did you know
that would be ideal?
Did you know that people from the island of Lesbos are called lesbians?
Yes.
What?
Look it up. Look it up, people. I have the documents. Well, it's true.
Okay.
No, search Lesbos right now on Wikipedia.
Go I believe right you. I know that.
And look up, what's the term? Demonom? You know, for the Isle of Crete, they're called Cretans, too. So Greece is full of Cretans and lesbians, apparently.
No surprise there.
Go ahead, people.
Is where the word comes from?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the word lesbian comes from the island of Lesbos.
Yes.
I think gay marriage is illegal there, though. I think
it's where the poet Sapphos was from.
But there is something called lesbian wine, which is wine that comes from that island.
Isn't that interesting?
So
it's
we got off.
Words mean different things, different places.
We got off.
But it's still kind of interesting. Whatever, tangents. Tangents.
Well, I mean, you know, we could bring this into the thing because we're talking about how everyone hates everyone except their own opinion right now. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it with the gay rights thing and the gay, the gay legal rights, which is not the same as gay rights. Like, the lady that went to jail for not putting out for not putting a government stamp on paper. Yeah. She should just be fired.
It's just so silly. It's like when you really get down to brass tacks, it's just silly. I mean, it really, what was she fighting for? I mean, it's meaningless.
Yeah. Well, you know, people played We Are the Champions when she got out of jail. No, what was it? What song did they play?
I
the Tiger.
I Am the Tiger. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no way.
That's what they played. Governor Huckabee.
Mike Huckabee came out and said something about, like, God endorses this message.
Oh,
Mike Huckabee, who's been putting on some weight himself. I think he's doing some competitive eating with himself, but
he wants to be part of something bigger than himself.
Himself.
Well, I'm gaining weight because I'm on steroids, but not the good kind of steroids. Not muscle weight, just weight. Prednisone.
You're like soft muscle.
It's a hell of a drug.
I think that's essentially what it takes for a Republican to celebrate the release of a prisoner. It's this situation.
Hey, well, did you hear who was it that used the REM song for their campaign?
That was Trump.
And then people get upset when people use... Oh, that happens all the time.
Did you hear what Michael Stipe said about it?
No.
This is pretty funny, okay? He goes, go F yourself, the lot of you. You sad, attention-grabbing, power-hungry little men. Do not use our music or my voice for your moronic charade of a campaign.
That's pretty funny.
Which is pretty funny.
You know, he'll probably, be licensing it for free to Bernie Sanders.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's no already doubt. Like been a big Obama supporter. Okay, oh, yeah. So it's really hard to
how anyone could still be an Obama supporter.
Here's what I got to say.
I don't care if you're a Democrat. Whatever. I got to say
the least cool thing any entertainer can ever do, any musician, any rock and roller can ever do is back any politician.
Square.
It's the squarest thing you can do, man. I'm telling you.
Even if it's Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Oh, sorry, Jordan Page. Man, I love you, but
there are some horrible songs. There's some of the worst music I've ever heard is praising Ron Paul.
Such as?
I don't know. A bunch of anonymous.
The Ron Paul anthem. Called it an anthem.
A bunch of anonymous really? Horrible no, songs on YouTube by.
Oh, is that the song by Amy Allen?
Yep, that's it. The Ron Paul anthem.
Wow.
I think
I like it, but
don't.
I think by the time you add an anthem to something, it's gone too far.
Exactly. Yeah, an anthem, and to me, an anthem just you know implies religious fervor, essentially.
Fervor.
Like we were talking about earlier. Yeah, fervor.
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 Worms.
How's your pets, Diana? How's your rabbit?
There, she's good. She's sitting in her cage, probably like, don't touch me, like she most of the time is. Like, just feed me and leave me alone kind of thing.
That's how I am these days.
Yeah.
Just feed me and leave me alone.
I've actually been letting my cat go outside. I've been letting her
supervised?
Go outside. She doesn't go far. She just goes out just a little bit around where my apartment is, and then she comes right back in. It's like she comes in and out like it's some kind of, I don't know, it's like Grand Central Station for her or something. I don't know. It's like, but it's pretty cool. I got a collar on her. She's microchipped. I decided I'm gonna let her like be a little bit of an anarchist.
How long is her leash?
She doesn't have one.
But she's chipped. She's chipped.
She is chipped. She was, I didn't ship her, though. She was chipped when I got her. You know, and I am sort of rebelling against the whole chipping her thing in a way, because the organization that I adopted her from said that if she was ever picked up, the chip links back to this organization, and they would take her back and not let me have her.
What?
Whoa, yeah, that is beat.
She has to be an indoor cat only. And you know, she's not declawed, so she can definitely defend herself out there.
It's like one of those house arrest ankle bracelets. Man, if they GPS are outside of the house, are you in trouble?
I like vets in Wyoming. Like vets in Wyoming mostly do like horses and stuff, but they also do dogs and cats. So like you know, when you bring in your cat that's really sick and like really, really, really sick, they don't go, oh, well, I think, you know, they're like, well, you could spend $5,000 to fix this cat, or I'll just put it down for you right now. What do you want? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. They're kind of like that here too. I mean, there's a big vet school here.
There's some state where they can't legally do that. I forget if it's Wisconsin or Minnesota, but one of those states
to put your animal down?
No. Like you can't legally put an animal down there until you've exhausted all possibilities.
It's like abortion regulations. They have to notify your parents if you're under 16.
Goodness. Wow.
So
despite the fact that extraordinary measures to keep your animal alive might just make it suffer more.
Yeah. And bankrupt you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it sucks to put an animal down, but I mean, when you weigh the options, it's sometimes the best thing. It's the best thing for the animal and certainly the best thing for you financially.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really sad. I understand that, but there should be no regulation for it. Oh, this makes me so mad.
Hey, let's do the stupid Barack country. Obama thing one like round. So like each person say one word, like it'll be like me, James, Davi, Diana, and then around again. So Barack.
Obama.
Is.
Speak up, Davi. Hurry up, guys.
Is.
Diana.
Barack is white.
I'll say. Now,
he's a white dude.
Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink. I was trying to do a cool thing and you just wrecked it.
I know, Diana. I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
You get a timeout.
Stop micromanaging the show and central planning this.
I know. Could have been a beautiful thing, but Diana just messed it up.
He's white. Don't you agree?
Poland is not yet lost.
Yeah, he's just like any other old white dude. I mean, he's, whatever.
Hey, remember when Bruce Springsteen, the boss, came out for Obama? Talk about square.
I know.
I was thinking about that earlier when we were talking about bands coming out for candidates. And that makes me sad because I really kind of dig Bruce Springsteen.
And Bruce Springsteen, a lot of people always thought that Born in the USA was a very patriotic song, but if you listen to lyrics, it's actually scathing appraisal of America's treatment of vets.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey, but everybody's got their price, right? Sure. Everybody wants that
Jimi Hendrix
trip to
the
White
National
House.
Anthem on the electric guitar.
Yeah. But, back then, it's like doing that and also, wearing the American flag, like wearing it on your, wearing it as a bathing suit or on your butt, as a patch or something. That was kind of subversive and radical. Yeah, exactly. It was disrespectful. Yeah.
Now you can buy a Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson used to carry one around with him everywhere he went.
People were like so mad that
Jimi Hendrix around wherever he went?
No, an American flag. If you look at like any of the movies,
he's a weird combination of right winger and freaky hippie.
Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson was.
But there's always American flags in the background. It's very.
Who is it? Who's this guy?
Hunter S. Thompson.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh, that's right.
Google it, people. Yeah. I have the documents.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this trip to the market.
Are you doxing? Is that what you're doing?
You don't even know what I'm saying. Hamster ovaries.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Djibouti.
Djibouti.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Well, let's do it again. Let's do it again.
This is why anarchists can't have roads.
This is why anarchists can't have nice things. Let's try it again.
I'm sorry.
First, we have to explain the concept, Diana. A 5-year-old can do this. All right, here we go. You ready?
I'm Benny.
You ready? Barack.
Obama.
Is.
A.
Liar.
And.
His.
Feet. No.
God. And he's a socialist.
And his feet are socialist.
No, I'm not the one that messed up.
I know, Davi messed up.
I think I messed that one up.
We didn't go in order either.
Did we go out of order?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. One more time. Go.
Barack.
Obama.
Is.
A.
Liar.
And.
A.
Socialist.
And.
His.
Feet.
Stink!
Yay! Woo! Woo. Tommy, get up on your mic and turn down your headphones. All right, this is the Freedom Fiends, and we are slaying sacred cows for the burgers. The yummy burgers. Fundamentalism means dementia is fun, according to Davi. And talk a little bit more about this chasm that America and the world has these days of, like, instead of, oh, you disagree with you, sir, but I will fight to the death for your right to say so. It's more like, how do you, I will do you kill you if you disagree with me. What?
How do you convince a demented person that dementia is not fun? That dementia is not fun?
I think you have to, like, leave because they're really a different species and it requires...
They have to admit that they have a problem. Until they admit they have a problem, they're not safe to be around.
I think has to hurt them in some way. Like, the fundamentalism ultimately has to hurt them in some way so that they admit they do.
Well, they have to be quarantined, like Taffy's family in Saudi Arabia when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the fervor is because nobody really cares enough to vote, and so they have to whip people into a frenzy just to get like 10 or 20% of people down to the polls.
Did you know a lot of countries voting is mandatory?
Yeah, Brazil.
Australia.
Not only that, but and Brazil, and not only that, but they get, but anybody can run in Brazil. I remember when the Brazil elections were happening, and there was all kinds of crazy political ads out there.
Gary Coleman.
Didn't Obama talk about possibly advocating mandatory voting?
Yeah.
Oh. He did say that.
It's the next logical step. It's coming.
Yeah, it really
kind of
is, yeah.
Because the crappier they get, the less interest there is in the system. Already, the Vote for Nobody campaign completely dominates every national election, right?
Tell me
nobody
about that.
Just
What's
like
that?
Destroys all the other candidates.
Yeah,
and they're like,
20. Yeah.
Explain that.
Because, like, hardly anybody bothers to vote. And and it's all old people, and they're dying off. So soon already. They're going to be like, hey, if nobody's voting, how are we going to maintain this air of legitimacy? Yeah, make it mandatory.
There are still younger people voting, but not nearly the numbers as older people. And I do think it ultimately is going to die out. And they will have to make it mandatory in order to keep it going. And
well, see, the reason that flipping a coin to pick your leaders doesn't work is because not enough people are flipping coins. See, that's the problem.
You know, in Australia voting is mandatory, but not for old people. That's kind of interesting.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. If you're over 65, you don't have to vote.
You don't have to vote, okay. Right. So they're not keeping them from voting.
They're the ones that want to vote. So
exactly.
Yeah.
That really works out great.
That is interesting, yeah. No, because they want to have, they want more socialist, young people will vote for socialism more. Although so will old people, because they're not paying for it. But
And socialists will celebrate voting being mandatory more.
Just because it's something else that's mandatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything mandatory is a win for them.
Explain it. Give me a definition of socialism, because it's misused, but it's also overused, but it's also underused. Do you have a good definition of it, James?
Let's see. An economic system where the state controls, well, I guess things are privately owned, but the state controls them, something like that. I don't know.
The preferences of the many
outweigh
the
rights
of the one.
The USA right now.
What, Diana?
The definition would be the USA right now. That
okay, Davi, and Davi, would you say?
I said the preferences of the many outweigh the rights of the one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are all. Those
and eventually
all
everybody starves to death.
Yeah.
I think that's the the key there.
It's basically communism with bright, pretty colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like red, white, and blue.
Yeah. I would say Idiocracy, like the show Idiocracy, is kind of the end result in America.
Yeah.
Although there was a lot of capitalism and Idiocracy, for what it's worth, like Starbucks,
hookers,
and whatever that show was.
I went to law school.
That's,
at
I don't
Costco.
Know if that's capitalism. That's corporatism.
Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And when the only law school is Costco, you had a problem, I think.
Well, there you go. We'll see, if more people had law degrees, then we would have more lawyers, and that would mean more laws, I guess, or something.
Well, if you ask a person on the left what socialism is, what do they say?
Utopia!
Mm-hmm.
It's just sharing.
It's sharing, yeah.
Sharing. The point
just,
of a rifle.
Just share what you have. I mean, just sharing. You should be happy to share what you have. You know, and if you're not happy to share what you have on your own, we'll force you to do it at the point of a gun.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Yeah.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
BIPCOT No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
I can drink coffee again. That's like amazing, man.
Coffee, 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 coffee,
and I'm drinking good coffee now.
Good.
Instead of Walmart, I'm grinding my beans. So I saw something very heartening today, something that made me very happy. It was on Facebook, and it was some meme about anarcho-communists. And one of the replies was like, anarcho-communism, that doesn't even make sense. Nothing is further apart from anarchy and communism. And it was like, I think it was an anarcho-capitalist saying that. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think this was actually someone who's never heard of the concept that the original, you know, historically, you know, the Soviet Union was supposed to be a stepping stone to anarcho-communism. And the idea of, of anarchy, that term originally meant, you know, a communist, you know, workers replace the state kind of thing. And there's been this fight for the past like 40 years, and especially the past really like 5 years on the internet, of anarcho-capitalists, which is us, versus anarcho-communists who don't believe in property but seem to believe in the intellectual property that only they own the term anarchy.
They are adorable.
They are adorable.
Come on, you gotta just sit back and be like, "Oh,
I know." But, you know, like, but I think I finally found like patient one of the new generation who's never heard of the concept that anarchism was ever involved with communism. I think that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it turns out those early anarchists were also wrong about anarchy. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's just taken until now for that to be corrected, you know?
Yeah. Well, so,
they're not the first. I don't know why they claim to be the first. I can find private property believing anarchists in the 9th century.
Did they use the term anarchist though?
No, well, they didn't use the English language.
It's the term. Well, it's Greek, isn't it?
No, it's Arabic. 9th century Baghdad. There were anarchists who wanted, when the caliphate collapsed, they said, hey, if leaders keep being corrupt, why don't we just stop having leaders?
Right.
Who are these people?
Adam, I remember Will Coley talking
about
that.
Talk about this.
They were called the Kharijites, and they were in Baghdad. And they traced all the way back to the first like Sunni-Shia split. Like the first Sunni-Shia split was this difference of political opinions. And the Kharijites were like, what if we just didn't have any government? And
do you think that that's
true? Now, that was before roads were invented, though, right?
No. There were roads.
No.
Davi, do you think the Sunni-Shia split occurred over two cups of coffee?
Tea.
Because it inflames the blood. I mean, they were trying to outlaw it, weren't they, at that point?
What?
You've lost me. Oh, this is before they discovered coffee. No,
oh, okay. Coffee's from Yemen, but didn't you say that coffee's some from Yemen? Some Muslim leaders tried to ban coffee and then decided that they didn't have to ban it because it allowed you to stay up and pray longer?
Yeah, that was the Ottoman Empire, and it was really like it was just a straight up refusal to obey the law, and they needed to come up with a justification for repealing the law, and so the one they came up with was, well, it'll help people pray, so we'll let them have coffee.
Well, part of that, you know, and part of the discussion before that, leading up to that, I don't know if you know that, but the scholars, the Islamic scholars, were having an argument, a long-standing argument over whether or not coffee was intoxicating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I say yeah. I love it.
Muslims also invented bureaucracy, so I want to personally apologize for that.
Well, you know, maybe there's some lessons we could take away from that for the weed legalizing community. Maybe if we convince the right that this helps people pray. Right.
Now you're thinking.
There you go. Right? There's a historical precedent they don't need to know about. Yeah.
There absolutely. Yeah. There's got to be. I mean, and it's true. So, and if they don't believe it, they should try it.
You know, a lot of the people that I know that smoke weed on the regular are some of the most creative, intelligent people I know.
The only.
And spiritual.
There's this book called A Child's Garden of Grass, which is an early book about marijuana and how great it is. Like back before they were everywhere and back before there was any legal pot and back when like, you know, you'd be facing prison time for having pot in the 70s. Like I was born in 64. I found this book in 74, a year before I smoked pot and had sex. And all I remember from this book, I read it in the bookstore, sitting in the bookstore without paying for it, read the whole thing in Chautauqua, New York. And I remember it had this really short section on marijuana as a cure for impotence. Uh-huh. And it said, if a person can smoke pot and spend 30 minutes playing with drops of water coming out of the faucet, imagine what he can do with a pair of breasts.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Now, when was
this?
And I had like no concept of sex or drugs at the time. And I read this and it warped my little mind.
And you're like, ding.
Yeah.
Swing.
Swing. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, well, you know.
But you know what? Remember the.
Apply that to guy, prayer. That's what I'm saying.
Anslinger.
Yeah.
You know
that creep.
The guy that said that marijuana is going to make you want to have sex with musicians and black people.
Oh, and it makes Mexicans want to rise up and kill everyone so they can be the president of Mexico.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's what the conservatives are still working under. So we need to let them know it's going to help you pray.
They're still working under reefer madness.
Right. Maybe we should tell them it'll give you the courage and to resist your gayness. Like,
there you go.
You know what? They need to research this. The Church of St. Gulick. St. Gulick was a medieval Catholic preacher guy who believed that marijuana brought the word of God alive. And he was, of course, burned as a heretic for it. But that just makes him a martyr. So
they rolled him up in like big paper and they smoked him.
Yeah. There you go. Go Google Saint Gulick, Gulik, and it will be you know, hours of fun.
Oh, nice! I'm gonna
I can't believe pot's not legal because of everybody has a relative with cancer. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Do any of you are there any of you that don't know someone personally that's had cancer?
I have grandparents that died of cancer, and I also have my mom is currently using medical marijuana, so there you go. Yeah.
For
my mom had pain? Colon cancer. Go ahead.
Well, that's all pain.
James?
I think everybody must have someone in their family or probably their very close family
that
has had cancer or died of cancer.
Yeah, my daughter died of cancer. Yeah. My mother died of cancer. My dad beat cancer. My sister beat cancer.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, so like statistically, either I'm in a family with a lot of cancer and I'm going to get it, or I've beat the statistics because so many people in my family had it. But yeah, man, I pretty much hate pot. But if I was in pain, I'd smoke pot in a heartbeat. No problem.
So I just looked up St. Gulick, and apparently he's a cockroach.
What? Yeah, that's what I saw.
Every time a cockroach dies, a stoner gets his weed.
He's the messenger of the goddess, and he's a Discordian saint.
There you go.
So Dobby made this up, huh?
No, I didn't make this up. This is like published by multiple publishers in the 70s.
In a different age of ours.
All connected with...
He was called...
Ron with Anton Wilson.
He was called Hermes. Yeah, he was the guy.
Yeah, Hermes. You've heard of Hermes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a crab on Futurama. No, he's the bureaucrat. Hermes' comrade. He's the bureaucrat on Futurama. The Rostocrat. Hey, marijuana allows him to run the government better.
See, is that a coincidence? St. Gulick, Hermes, Rastafarian. Yep. It's all connected.
I'm melting.
Everything is connected.
You know, there's somebody that was supposed to do a show the other day who recently moved to San Francisco, but I don't know if he did the show because I think he decided he was in San Francisco and had to indulge in the San Francisco treat. And I don't mean Rice-A-Roni. I think somebody missed the show tripping last week.
Oh.
Are we still on radio? I mean, what have we talked about so far? It's like, okay, we're anarchists. There's a Muslim. We think pot should be legal. What else have we done to offend people?
Anthems are dumb.
Anthems are dumb.
Nationalism is dumb.
I have an IV of coffee into my butt right now.
We haven't talked about any TV shows.
Ah, okay, go ahead. I love Mr. Robot.
Mr. Heck Robot.
Yeah. Mr. Robot's awesome.
Hey, but okay, I will say, Dobby, you've watched Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. So don't turn off the radio. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, don't turn off the radio. So Mr. Robot, okay, so I heard about this on Sovereign Tech. Tech is a podcast by Brian Sovereign, and he pretty much dissed it. Like, he didn't like the show at all. I think he only watched like 4 episodes of it. He mentioned the ads for it that I think, well, I looked up one of the ads, like just one of the print ads, and it says, you know, democracy is being hacked or something like that. And Brian was really unhappy with
it.
He
had a lefty, like, you know. Nobody has
it does
made,
have a little bit of a
nobody has
thing,
made
yeah,
the but. Great American anarcho-capitalist series yet. So, like, whenever you've got something like Mr. Robot or Fight Club or something where two or three, 10 people are taking down the world and correcting its errors, they're always doing something like erasing the debt or, you know, democratizing it. It's like they're not really, it's all half measures.
That's true, but I mean, I do think
that's
why
you need a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah,
I think it's for considering the fact that it's on the USA Network.
Dobby, have you seen Zombies versus Cats?
I've never even considered watching anything on the USA Network before, and the fact that it is, I mean, they basically glorifying societies like Anonymous. I mean, the big like hacker society is called F Society, and it's very similar
that
to Anonymous.
F Society,
and also too, I, you know, just watching it, you know, was reminded by so many different things. Like, I was reminding, you know, the main character Elliot reminded me of a movie I just saw recently, Underground, the Julian Assange story, and I believe that this was made in Australia. It was actually an Australian movie.
It's an older movie.
Yeah, it's really really
Dobby,
good.
Check your email.
Dobby, check your email
and watch Cats versus Zombies while we're talking.
Cats versus Zombies.
Okay. I really think you
but
know.
But anyway, so I'm not seeing what little, because he didn't really touch on it very much. Brian didn't. I'm not seeing a lot of statism in the show itself. In fact, the most
I love Brian
episode,
Sovereign, but he's cranky, man, and he's hard to please.
Yeah,
and I don't know how to please a man, but I can't please that man. Hey, is he the one that put the Tor network in the New Hampshire library? Did you guys hear about that? There was a Tor node.
Yeah, I heard about
in a library.
Cool.
It would kind of make
sense if
they did.
And they got shut down
by
the Department of Homeland Security. And Brian Sovereign tweeted the other day, I wonder who put this in this library. Nod, nod, wink, wink. Yeah.
Okay, so like I just want to go back to like one of the things. I'm really passionate about this. Okay, let me talk about it.
Yep.
So
silence. Woman is speaking.
So the most recent episode, and I don't want to give any spoilers because I do want our audience to watch this.
Well, it's over.
It is over. Okay. Anyway, I just finished episode 5.
No, the season's over.
Okay, in this episode, you know, the main character, Elliot, is actually in the executive lounge with the bad, you know, CTO perspective guy or whatever. What's his name? The Swedish guy. Anyway, so he's in the executive lounge with him, and there's this huge photograph of Obama right there on the wall. And it's like, how anti-statist can you get?
Well, that guy's supposed to be a statist, though.
He's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy, exactly.
Well, he's supposed to show that he knows Obama. Like, he's an executive that's high up.
Yeah. Yeah, so to me, it's not anti-capitalist as much as anti-corporatist, for sure.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Worms.
Redemption in the third act on the Freedom Fiends. Meow, meow.
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 So on the subject of zombies, new show out, Fear the Walking Dead, a prequel to The Walking Dead. It has a lot. It's like it's all potential and no execution for me.
Exactly.
Essentially, like if you've seen the trailer for World War Z, you've seen the first two episodes of Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's like going. It's just, like going too slow. I was expecting that there would be some element of where did this thing actually come from? Like, I understand that it originated here. I'm not even sure I understand that it originated in California, where did it come from? That's what I want to know.
And they keep letting zombies wander away and nothing happens.
I know.
Like, they leave them in an alleyway and run away. And then that zombie never shows up on the news or anything.
People, please check your zombies. Don't leave them
check
lying
your zombies.
Around.
Come on. Like, just because you shoot something in the heart does not necessarily mean it's dead.
If you guys are interested in zombie films, I'm much more interested in Z Nation than Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, Z Nation.
Season 2 of
good.
Z Nation just came back. And Z Nation, they launched season 2 on 9/11 on purpose. Like, that's that's the attitude they've got. I just I'm very pleased with them. They've launched all the nukes. They've nuked the planet.
No, don't spoil it because I haven't seen it yet.
All right. Well,
I've seen the first few episodes of the first season. I don't know what happened.
It's something totally different. It's something totally different than Walking Dead. And it's like,
I knew that.
It's much sort of more kitschy and funnier. I feel like it's sort of a better, if Walking Dead is the like episodic version of Night of the Living Dead, Z Nation is like the episodic version of Return of the Living Dead. Like, it's obviously a spinoff, but it knows that and it doesn't mind being funny about it. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll watch it. So they've nuked it. Awesome. I can't wait to see the nukes.
Yeah. Are we the only ones that watch this? Do you guys watch any of these shows?
Hell no.
iZombie? No. I watch all of them.
iZombie looks a little silly to me. Do you like that?
It's totally silly.
Is that a new Apple product? What is that?
No,
it's essentially Psych. If you've seen Psych, so it's a girl who is infected with the zombie virus. But as long as she eats brains, she gets to stay smart. And so it's a cop drama where she's investigating.
I saw a commercial for that. It looked pretty funny. She's like eating like a brain salad. She's like, yeah, I feel better now.
Yeah. So essentially, she eats the victim's brain, and then she's able to see the last moments before they died, and then she uses that information to solve the crime. But she has to pretend that she's psychic, otherwise people will know she's a zombie.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the movie.
Okay, it's cool. It's cool. She's a psychic. She's not really eating brains. Okay, cool.
That reminds me of Warm Bodies.
It is a lot.
You saw Warm Bodies, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I like mutations in the zombie genre. I'm not a purist. I don't think there's a particular biology that zombies have to follow. So I like seeing right. the genre sort of
okay.
adjust.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you do kind of have, I mean, because to me, ultimately, it doesn't really make sense that, you know, like in The Walking Dead, that a zombie could continue moving and functioning without, what, with a deteriorating brain stem? Like, how the heck does that happen? You know, it's like,
it's magic. Yeah, the physics don't makes ask no too sense. Many questions.
I know, exactly. So I suspend the disbelief in order to enjoy the show. So, you know, sure. I guess if there are different ways of looking at it, then yeah, I can embrace those as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
There you go. Viruses.
Ah!
Yeah. I'm getting ready for Walker Stalker Con. Survivor Max 2 should be out by the end of October.
You take the Bipcot flag on tour?
Yeah, I'll bring the Bipcot flag.
Where is Walker Stalker Con?
It's going to be in Atlanta in October, but it's all over the country.
Yeah. Is there always one going on?
In Atlanta in October? Yeah. When in October? I really want to go this time.
There should always be weekend. One. Should always be one 24/7, 365.
When is it, Davi?
It's Halloween weekend.
People, oh, you know, sweet. People should totally start going. like AA meeting equivalent of like Walker Stalker Con. Like, you know, like anybody can do it. You know, two or more people gather together with a desire to stop zombies.
That would be the yep. Zombie Research Society.
Yeah.
I have a friend that went to a member. My Little Pony convention.
How about ew, that creeps yeah. me out.
Oh, he's a brony? Your friend's a brony?
I don't get that.
There you go.
I don't
played
get
with
it.
Ponies as
it's
a kid.
Girl, so I don't think she's a brony.
Brony. Worms. Isn't it brony?
It's brony.
Or brony.
Because they're bros that like My Little Pony. Brony.
Okay.
There you go. Michael, it's great to have you back.
Thanks, man.
Full time on the
yes,
fiends.
This was awesome.
I don't know if I'm back awesome. Full time, but I had a good time today. DJ's like, I forgot how loud you were when you did shows. She's in the other room. That's a good thing.
Hey, DJ.
Hey, DJ.
Hey, DJ.
Everyone says, hey, DJ.
Hey, DJ.
She's saying something. All right, thanks, kids. It's wonderful.
Worms.
Worms, y'all.
Worms, y'all.
I'm Finny, and I swam with dolphins.
Yay. Did they rape you?
No, it was a girl.
Ooh. All right.